Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. And this is a Monday, the 24th of May, and I have my lead-off question is, if you leave the gas on in your house, will it blow up if nobody lights a match or it doesn't come in contact with a flame? How did this disaster happen? What caused, what ignited that flame? What caused it? Something's not right. That's a major catastrophe. I personally think it's sabotage. Just like the Normandy during World War II, downtown New York at the pier. I think it was sabotage. And how come Obama is not getting blamed for it? How come Homeland Security people are not getting blamed for it? Why was a SWAT team sent down there? Why are the Russians saying it is sabotage? The Russians are really out there. They're saying it was a Korean sub and a suicide mission. Something set that off. That just didn't happen. As sure as a South Korean destroyer got torpedoed. Something's not right. Something doesn't add up. Somebody did that. There's 11 dead men. Were they murdered? What does it take? One guy with scuba gear? And it's really sad. And this government did nothing. They didn't even send enough Coast Guard people down there to contain the oil spill. They didn't do enough. They blamed BP, and BP blamed the rig company. And the rig company blamed the BP and Halliburton. And, of course, as soon as Halliburton's name came up, everybody wanted to blame Bush and Cheney. I got to pay a tribute to Donald Rumsfeld. I think this guy was more maligned than anybody in this whole Iraq war. I think that he was thrown under the bus by everybody. I think that he was a good pitcher in a game of 8 years, and he went seven innings. And Bush put his arm around him and said, I stay faithful to this man. And then he abandoned him as a Christmas present. And yet, in spite of it, Rumsfeld never once chirped disenchantment. He told Jumbo Kennedy, the Chappaquiddick SEAL, the murderer of Mary Jo Kopechne, the collaborator with the communists to defeat President Reagan, the greatest disgrace to the Irish race in the United States, Jumbo Kennedy, a man who drowned one woman and drove another one to the drink. And now you know where he is. Yes, that's right, my friends. Life is short. And hell is forever. So, Jumbo was sitting up on the Senate crap seat there, and he looks down at Rumsfeld and he goes, isn't it time you resigned? Now, if anybody should be asking that question, Mary Jo's parents should be standing down there and asking Jumbo, isn't it time you atoned for your sins and confessed to the murder of my daughter? Imagine that bastard sitting up there looking down his nose at anybody. And Rumsfeld answered professionally, I serve at the pleasure of my president. And when he tells me to go, I will go. And Rumsfeld did. He folded up his portfolio when Bush threw him to the wolves. And he quietly headed off into a town in New Mexico to live out the rest of his life. And in that town, which is mostly liberal, he is chastised and ostracized, and he's still his own man. He's a real hero. He served his country faithfully. At 72 years old, in the middle of the night, he was reading documents on a plane heading to Iraq. Unbelievable. Hang in there.
The struggle's over, the boys were defeated. Old Ireland surrounded with sadness and gloom. We defeated and shamefully treated, and dire Robert Emmet awaiting my doom. Hung, drawn, and quartered, sure that was my sentence, but soon I will show them no coward am I. My crime was a love of a land I was born in. For a hero I've lived, and a hero I'll die. Bold Robert Emmet, the darling of Erin. But I must see my sweetheart, for I and cast into prison. Tried as a traitor, a rebel, a spy. But no one can call me a knave or a coward. For a hero I've lived, and a hero I'll die. Bold Robert Dammit, the darling of Erin.
That's an old Irish tune about a rebel in 1796 who gave his life for his country. And I equate that to a corporal named Anzac who was fished out of the Euphrates River after he had been tortured. And what happened to Robert Emmett happened to Corporal Anzac. And he died amongst his enemies, being tortured by them. And the media never showed you the whip marks on his body because they didn't want you to see it. But they'll show you an alleged atrocity from a schmuck that crossed the Iranian border and taunted the Iranians. Yeah. They'll show you. Rescue the schmuck. Those three students had no reason to be up on that Iranian border. All they did was drag their country into more heartache and headache. And speaking of heartache and headache, my UPS driver is leaving for Afghanistan. This is his second tour of duty. I think he was in Iraq on his first tour. He's going to be over there for a year. That means his wife and kids, are sitting home for a whole year, and the only contact they're going to have with them is the internet. I gave him my email address, and I said, if you get into any kind of a jam, and you need help, if you need a pizza delivered, you send me an email, and I'll try to help you. Because I made a vow on 9-1-1, when they started sending troops overseas to find bin Laden, who, by the way, nobody's ever asked Obama when is he going to get bin Laden, but they ask Bush every day. But this guy's been in office now 18 months, and not one person has asked him, when is he going to get bin Laden? So, having said that, I wish my friend God's protection and safety for him and his fellow soldiers. He's got to go to Fort Benning first for advanced infantry training. And then he's going over to Afghanistan for a year. And you know what that tells me? He's Army Reserves. So what does that tell you? We're spread thin. We have a skeleton crew of freedom. We have a country that doesn't want to be drafted. We have a nation of sheep. And you know what happens to sheep? Twice a year, they get their throats cut. Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. Yes. And pretty soon they're going to have a third holiday, Eid al-Amriki. You better wake up. You lost your country. You're never getting it back. And Savage is saying that tonight, and people are calling in agreeing with them. It's really a sad state of affairs. We're going to be nothing soon. We have no industry left. We couldn't build a war machine if we wanted to. We can't even go to space without getting a ride from the Russians now. The Russians should put a taxi, the word taxi, on their shuttle. Watch this Dow drop. Today it's 107 points. You're going to get bled to death slowly. 80 points one day, 100 points the next. Be careful. When I looked at the market today, it was up 10 points. And all of a sudden, on the way home, it was down 100. Be careful. Watch out who's selling you short. I started to say I made a vow that I would protect, watch the backs of all the troops that went overseas. I wouldn't let them get stabbed in the back by the rats at home. And there's a lot of rats at home. I think we got 12% traitors in the American population. I would like to see all the visas that were issued to all Muslims from 9/11 on. I want to know who's here. I want to make sure that the Mexican coming across the border wearing a sombrero doesn't answer to Salam Aleikum. I want to see the mix of who's were made citizens since 9/11. I'd like to know how many American citizens were born of Muslim parents who came here from overseas. And I got to give kudos to Fox. Fox spent the whole weekend exposing El Alawi. They did a wonderful job, a fantastic job. I hope I can get a rerun of it. I'd like to watch it from start to finish, all over again. And once again, the State Department's involved in a cover-up. Once again, the U.S. government is CYA-ing itself. And if it wasn't for Fox, there'd be no news. The American people would have no news. And I honestly believe that. Fox is the only one that keeps us informed. There's a snake in the grass who's sneaking on by. He got a pass from George Bush when he was up for a Senate seat in New York, and that's Chuck Schumer. George Bush never opposed Chuck Schumer. He gave Chuck Schumer a walk-on. When Bush was running for re-election in 2004, he passed over New York and New Jersey because the Democrats threatened him that if he brought up 9/11, that they would give him holy hell. And he, under the advice of his Republican committee chairman, decided to capitulate New York and New Jersey to Chuck Schumer, who had no competition. There was nobody. Chuck Schumer had no competition, and John Corzine. Now, what do both of those guys have in common? They vote to kill kids, and they vote to let the American flag burn. They call it freedom of speech. Okay? Now, Corzine is gone. I think he went back to Iran. And that's going to upset Ahmadinejad, because Ahmadinejad says there's no gays in Iran. Yeah, remember when he said that at Columbia Communist University? There are no gays in Iran. You know why? Because he was in New York. But hang in there. Chuck Schumer got a pass. He got a Republican pass. And you know who else got a Republican pass? Arnold Spector. Arnold Spector, they sold out the conservative named Toomey in Pennsylvania in favor of Arnold Spector because they thought that Arnold Spector was a better vote getter. They wouldn't go with the best man. They went with the worst man because he could guarantee more votes. So that tells me the Republicans are the same as the Democrats. They just wear different dresses. And I say get rid of them all. My emblem is a Don't Tread on Me flag, and it's on a broom. And a new broom sweeps clean. And I say, let's get fresh crooks. And if you've been here before, be sure that you head out the door. Hang in there. My biggest beef about George Bush was he was given a mandate on 9-1-1. He could have got an act of war. He didn't push it. That's what he should have gotten, was an act of war. And there wouldn't be GIs rotting in prison today because of what the liberals do when they control the Pentagon. Bush should have got, he was given a mandate by the American people, keep us safe, George. Whatever you got to do, do it. And he made a half-ass attempt. His greatest legacy is going to be two Supreme Court judges. That's going to save this nation by one vote. One day, those two Supreme Court appointees are going to pay off for Bush. So whether or not Bush did it deliberately or he was just trying to appease his conservative base, I don't care. They're there, and we're safe tonight because of them. Because right now, the Communist Party of North America controls the House, the Senate, and the presidential executive branch. So the only thing that's going to keep us from all being sold down the river is the Supreme Court. And you better pray that all those conservative judges don't meet with a Soviet accident like Prime Minister Hariri or the Polish government. Think about that. Okay, so let me go back. Bush had a mandate from the American people. He could have wrote his own ticket. He could have done anything he wanted to do. Yeah, the Democrats would have fought him just like they applauded the Mexican president denouncing the United States. That's the Democrats for you. They're communists. There's no difference between a Democrat and a communist. Just because a guy's worth $12 million doesn't mean he's not a communist. Look at George Soros. Some people say George Soros works for the KGB. Maybe he gets his money. Maybe his money is government money. Did you ever think of that? Maybe he's not that successful a businessman. Maybe that's drug money. Maybe that's poppy crop money. Oh, we'll make him look like he made a few good trades. Oh, he's a genius. Yeah, well, beware of geniuses. So, let me go back to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer supposedly is up for re-election in November. And if that's true, he's got to be stopped. And one of his clones was saying that he can't be beat because he's got a good following. He's got a big war chest. And you know the story about war chests, don't you? When they leave and retire, they take it with them. So let's face it. If you had that power and you had that much access to money from goodwill people from all over the land sending you checks, cash, you know, people send cash, and you can make some of that money disappear. You don't even have to make it disappear. That's your war chest, and when you retire, you get to take it with you. So when your last year, when you got $20 million in your war chest, you buy a couple of stamps and a little stationery, and that's your campaign for the year, and then you say, well, it's time to go now. How's that? These guys have got a ticket to ride, man. hang in there. I like the way the left always calls you a racist because you're profiling Mexicans. It's Mexicans that are coming across the border. The majority of them are Mexicans that are coming, are illegal immigrants. So who are you going to look for? If you know that fleas carry bubonic plague and they ride rats, are you going to round up the rats or are you just going to, you don't want to get involved? What are you going to do, profile cows? Let's get real, man. Get real. Stop playing the race card. I don't blame BP for this oil spill. I do not. I blame the government. The government should have seen that BP was floundering, and they should have stepped right in for the protection of the coastline. It's the government who's at fault here, and they're turning the tables on it and blaming BP. And you heard what they said tonight? They're going to put a tax on every barrel of oil to build a fund to protect against the future devastation. You see, they always got to get into the act. They always got to have a fine and a levy. You know what? They're going to fine every man in business out of business. Mayor Bloomingdale is more interested in the take from fines than he is in protecting the people. Never once do they help the businessman. They only fine him and tax him. When a guy had a foundry and it was puffing smoke and it was polluting the environment, did the EPA go in and say, we have a program to get you on the right track? We got scrubbers for those smokestacks. We can eliminate 90% of the pollution. We can work on the other 10% together. No, they didn't do that. What did they do? They said, you know what? You need to be out of business. And we're going to fine you till you're out of business. And you know what the owner said? Well, good. You can take care of all the people I got to lay off. And I'm going to China and make a buck. And now China's got all the pollution. Is the Chinese government taxing the polluters? No, they're working with them. More pollution. Yeah. That's all we did. We exported our pollution to another part of the world. How did we solve any problem? Government can't solve problems. The best thing you can do with government is make it smaller. When they announced that the unemployment rate of this month is 445,000 new Americans unemployed, ask them how many are government workers. And when everybody's going to be working for the government one day but me, and my phone's going to ring and it's going to be the people of the United States, and they're going to want to know if I went to work today. Years ago, unions were vital to the survival of man. Unions were vital for those girls who worked in the shirtwaist factory in New York. I just seen pictures of it, how sad and tragic. I think there was like 170 girls who died, all young girls, some of them teenagers. Unbelievable. And they couldn't get out the door because the door was narrowed, so they couldn't steal garments. They could be checked easily as they went out. How sad. And the fire escape fell away from the building. And they jumped to their deaths, just like the people on 911. So it was a time when unions were good. When there's a song in Aurora the Grease Paint that Anthony Newley does. I forget the other guy's name, Cyril something. And he goes, oh, life was a wonderful thing when children worked in coal mines. And I look at Andrew Carnegie and all those kids that worked in his steel mills, and he never gave them a dime more than he had to. But he was a philanthropist. He built libraries, but he wouldn't give a book to a kid that was working in his steel mill. He didn't have any readers or leaders on coffee break time. Yeah, so unions were good. The Molly Maguires pulled together for their own protection. But today, unions are being dominated by... Unions are no more than big business, and the boys on the top are the corporate executives once again. And they're sucking up your dues. And they're taking your money, and they're developing communism. We have a late-breaking news. We just learned from the London Times that the Duchess of York has eloped with Rod Blagojevich. I just caught Mad Anthony Weiner on the O'Reilly show, and he wasn't attacking Glenn Beck. Make no bones about it. He's trying to get Beck fired by exposing Fox for having a sponsor like Goldline. He is not after Beck. He's after getting Beck fired. And he's putting the pressure on Fox. Now, who does Anthony Weiner represent? He represents flag burners and baby killers. That's his party. The party of death. The Democrat Party. The DNC, which stands for Dilatation and Curettage. They have a child guillotine on the party platform. They endorse child murder. They use the race card more than anybody, yet they endorse the murder of black babies. You think about that. They endorse the burning of the American flag. They call it freedom of speech. They prevent it. The Flag Desecration Act by one Democratic vote. They won by one. They burned the flag with one extra vote. You think about that. And Anthony Weiner is endorsed by the New York City Fire Department that has 343 American flags that goes with them every time they have a parade. And Anthony Weiner voted to let that flag burn. And it burned on 911. They couldn't find the flag down at Liberty Plaza. They had to go take one off a boat. And Anthony Weiner voted to let it burn. Anthony Weiner is Chuck Schumer's baby. Chuck Schumer, who is running for the Senate again. And I hope somebody rises to oppose him. Chuck Schumer, who pulled the card on the Democratic Party candidate in Ohio for the Senate. And the reason that he pulled the card on the Democratic Party candidate for the Senate was because he was an Iraq war veteran. But Chuck won't tell you that. The lips can say anything, but the heart doesn't lie. And he stood on the DNA dust and bones, crushed, powdered bones, of not 3,000 Americans after 9-1-1 and said, I love this city. But he votes to kill its kids and he votes to burn its flag. And you're going to let this guy continue to serve and pick up extra funds? You got to be kidding me.
I give.
wouldn't do my heart good to see Obama bow to the right king. Can you imagine the negotiations that are going on between China and South Korea right now? Behind the scenes, after they get rid of Hillary? You don't think that the South Koreans are chomping at the bit? You think that they're going to stand and take that one of their destroyers got torpedoed by a North Korean ship, a submarine? You think that the people of South Korea are going to take that laying down and they're going to turn the other cheek? Don't you think they're a little fed up? The Russians shoot down their airlines and the North Koreans kidnap their women? As they do in Japan? You don't think Japan's getting a little edgy right now? It's going to be one big boiling pot over there. It's going to be one powder keg with a short fuse very soon. And this president, he can't even handle the Middle East. You got 58,000 hostages in South Korea called American troops. And when Ho Chi Minh of North Korea decides he's coming across the line, and he can be in Seoul in a half an hour, you know that the first hit's going to push us back. And that when the whole country is on fire, it's going to be hard to cover it up. Even the Times will have to print the headline. I often say that in the Pentagon, there's New York is not on the map. After 9-1-1, they erased New York. They say, we know it's a target, and we're going to give it up. So they only show the 50 states minus New York. And I often say that if we lose a city, will they let us know? Or will they just say, no weather forecast in San Diego today? Yeah, we're in trouble, my friends. You know, you can only, like, what do they say? You can run, but you can't hide. Eventually, your enemies are going to find you. And when they see how weak you are, you'll have 10 times more enemies than you had the day before. And never forget what George Washington said, in times of peace, prepare for war. And Patton said, twice we've recovered from sneak attacks. I doubt if we can recover a third time. Especially when they get invited in. And all of those guys that stood up for the Mexican president over their own country all have to have their jobs taken away. They're all fired as of today. Get your crap and get out. You no longer work for the American people. What are they going to do? Who's going to address them next? Ahmadinejad? Once a North Korea invades South Korea, Japan goes nuclear. They're going to have no choice. They're going to be forced to go nuclear. And I told you, if either in this show or in a previous show, Japan's Navy is now the same size it was in before it went to Pearl Harbor. And that's just the Navy. And you notice the Japanese don't call any attention to themselves. They don't have no big military parades. They're very quiet. They're very calm. You think about that. Those are the ones you have to watch out for. A powerful man never has to tell you he's powerful. The one who tells you he's powerful is weak. So when you see Al Gore and Joe Liebowitz on the party platform running for president and vice president, dancing on the stage saying, we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. Na 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 na. You know that there's a guy in a cave in the Hindu Kush named Osama bin Laden who says, we'll see. And never forget Osama bin Laden's famous words. All American taxpayers are Jews. And America is an illusion of power. that will never see the dinghy bobbing in the waves that will sink it. And I heard a guy call into Savage tonight, he's ex-Navy, and he says when he saw a Chinese submarine surface 2 miles from an aircraft carrier, he said he knew we were in big trouble. You think about that. And he said, a Navy man said, he doesn't trust Admiral Lemon. How's that? I think they should all be beaten with all the medals that they wear. Should be turned in, they should take all their medals off.
Hang in there, folks.
All those big brass bells. Put a cowbell around their neck. Because I'll tell you something, they're going to hurt this country real bad. And you know what? For the first time in America's lifetime, you may see a military that refuses to go to war, that refuses to go on the battlefield, saying, I'm not going to die for the likes of those crap people back home who were stabbing me in the back. Let them come here and fight these guys. 0.5% protects this nation. When we lose them, we lose everything. You won't have to worry about your 401k. You won't have to worry about an oil spill. You'll be up to your ears in blood spill. And don't think it can't happen. Ask the Romans where their city is.
Take my lips and kiss them.
Take my love.
Take my hands and hold them.
Dedicate that song to John Edwards. a stand by your man, man. I got to tell you, I got to say it again and again. If I was the wife of a senator or a congressman, I would want to handpick his entire female staff. I would hire the handicapped. The priority would have to be if you're bad looking, you're getting the job. If you have a short leg, you're getting the job. Every time you see these congressmen and senators, they look like it's party time. What is it, 2 o'clock? Yeah, I'm telling you, it's sickening. They're raising 2 families, one at home, and they're Jekyll and Hydes, one at home and one in Washington, D.C. I picked up my paper the other night, and I don't want to mention the guy's name, but he was a representative. He was a go-along-to-get-along Republican. And it turned out that he was caught in delicto flagrante. And he had another wife in Washington and a child. And the sad part about it was he betrayed his wife and 2 daughters. 2 young daughters, like they're less than 9 years old. And his father helped him cover it up and lied to his wife about it. Hid it from his wife. If that was my son and he betrayed his wife, I wouldn't be covering him up. I would be on the side of that wife so quick it would make his head spin. Harry Truman said, if a man can't be faithful to his family, how can he be faithful to his country? And truer words were never spoken. And you can use that in a Clinton application. You can use it in a Kennedy application. Pick your favorite hypocritical congressman or senator. There should be a dirty dog clause. You never poop where you eat. It's absolutely sad. That wife and 2 kids were betrayed. Not only were they betrayed by the husband, but they were betrayed by the father-in-law. That's terrible. That girl stands alone. Could you imagine how she feels? She's alone. Married in a church. Swore before God to love one another. Asked God's blessing. Promised God they would be faithful to death. And this guy goes to Washington. He's not down there 3 years, and he's a pig in a blanket. Now, he didn't go there with that intention. And also, he became an alcoholic. He went there straight and sober. And he got caught up with the run of the mill. Now, the big headline in the paper tonight is he's considering running again after he's been thrown out. Give me a break. Give me a break. What's this guy's name? O.J.? Speaking of O.J., I think if he ran against Obama, he would have beat him by 2 points. It's just a hunch. But how sad. Now, he's not the only one. You think this congressman went down there and learned the ropes? And he's the first one? There's too much corruption in Washington. If you're watching the Tudors, you see that the ones that are closest to the king score the most. And they also pay the heaviest price. When the king's not happy, they're all in trouble. Tudors is good. But now, speaking of the Tudors, there's a corrupt cardinal. And, of course, it's Hollywood's goal to destroy the Catholic Church. It's Comedy Central's goal to destroy the Catholic Church. So, you heard me play a hymn tonight. I played that hymn for one good priest, for one good nun, someone who was married to God, someone who dedicated their entire lives, gave up sexual pleasure, gave up the easy life. Their only family is their parish. Their only family is their flock. Resisted temptation. Can you imagine the temptation the devil threw at them? All I need is one good priest and one good nun, and I got me a good religion. And I know there are losers out there. I know that there are priests that are homosexual, that stole from the parish to pay bribe money to a blackmailer. We're all one step away. There, but for the grace of God, go I. That's what people say when they drive by and they see me sleeping on the right-hand side of the car. They say he must be the designated drinker. Hey, they bless themselves. I see people blessing themselves. But who can resist temptation? The devil serves it up so well. I can't. But anyway, that's my tribute to one good priest and one good nun. And you know there's more than one. You know who was a good cardinal? Cardinal O'Connor. I liked Cardinal O'Connor. He was one of the boys. Served with the military. He was a chaplain. I like people that served in the military. If you don't have a DD-214, you're only half a man. If every congressman, every senator who is coming to run for office as of this year, if they have a DD-214, they should be given top priority. Take a shot with them. Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. If he's got a DD-214 and he served his country faithfully and he doesn't tell you he was in Vietnam and he never was, okay, give him the job. He's going to look out for you. He knows how the buddy system works. Give him a shot. You got a better chance with him than you're going to have with an Anthony Weiner, the whiner. I told you, if I had my way, every ambassadorship would not be sold anymore to a political favor party. I would appoint veterans in wheelchairs. If you meet the ambassador to the Soviet Union, he would wheel out to greet you. That's who I would have. I would have the best of the nation representing the nation. Not some flunky who paid Clinton to be buried in Arlington Cemetery and was never in the military. And when Clinton got caught, they had to dig him up and send him back. Yeah, Hillary got caught with 450 large from the Vignali drug family, and she had to send the money back. This is what they do when they're up on top. They don't go to jail. They just send the gifts back. Yeah. And Hillary sent it back, and she was short $50,000. She had to take a cut anyway. And the Vignali said, "It's okay, Hillary." Yeah, they forgave the debt. Fantastic, right? And she did no time. See, when you're in Washington and you do a crime, you do no time. You get to resign. Yeah, what was that guy's name? Jackson? He had $100,000 in a freezer. Chicken feed! Chicken feed! He didn't steal right. He wasn't clever enough. That was his crime. It's not like it's what the meaning of is. Like, is I going to jail? Is you the police? Is you is or is you ain't my baby? That's John Edwards' song. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? And he almost became president. Al Sharpton almost became president. Wesley Clark almost became president. How's that? Imagine these guys. You know how much you're worth if they become president? You're not worth anything. You're expendable. Harry Truman should have had two signs on his desk. One, the buck stops here, and two, I don't take a buck. You think any one of these senators and congressmen could put that on their desk today? Harry Truman was on the campaign trail on a train, and he couldn't pay to get to the next stop. They stopped the train between stops until somebody could get up some money to help pay the train bill. Harry Truman left office. He still had a mortgage on his house. He didn't take a dime from the American people. He gave everything. And so what happened to him? Puerto Rican terrorists tried to kill him at the White House. And instead, they missed Truman, and they killed two White House cops. And guess who pardoned them for votes? The Clintons. And you don't think you lost your country? And you're never getting it back. It doesn't belong to you anymore. All you are is tax revenue. You get up and you go to work. And you pay your taxes. And you pay more taxes. And you pay more taxes. And you're in the tax treadmill. Because your government needs... Your government has a tax Jones. And they need more. Because they're buying votes. And the best vote that they can own is a government employee. And that's why they don't count the absentee ballots, because the military knows they're phonies and doesn't stand for them. But they're going to break up the military. Obama just said he's the most powerful man in the world. And he has unlimited authority. And he's building his own army. And he's going to own them. He's going to have his own personal Praetorian Guard. They'll call him something else, but that's who they'll be. You lost your country, you're never getting it back. Never. Never. You got to go to work and get those taxes in. I'm watching people struggle to get 20% down on a house. On a house that they can hardly afford. 20% down. When I bought my house, you know how much it was? The house was $27,500 on a half an acre of land in New York City, and the taxes were $600, if they were that much. They might have started off at $380, and the interest rate was higher than it is today. The interest rate was 7.25%. And I had to put 20% down, so I put $6,000 down on a house. And today, the same person has to buy a house for at least $375,000, has to put down $70,000, and then they got a nut. My nut, you know how much my nut was? $217 a month. Today, the nut is, well, they're making more money. They're paying more taxes. They're taking home less. In 10 years, they'll be taking home 10% of what they earn. This government has an insatiable appetite. It's a giant tax Pac-Man. And now they're going to fine BP. How's that going to benefit the fishermen that are out of work? They're going to get a dole? They're going to get government welfare. The government steals it from the oil company in the form of taxes and fines. And then they're going to hook you. They're going to make you a slave and pay you with your own money. It's ridiculous. You lost your country. You're never getting it back. A savage is playing the demise of the United States today. He's saying the same thing. Sometimes I think he listens to my show. Because a couple of days later, he's on the same theme. But I know he doesn't listen to my show. So it must be great, great conservative minds running the same channel. It's the only way I can explain it. He did say something interesting tonight, that Obama must feel guilty standing in front of all those troops that he's going to send into harm's way. All those West Pointers who are going to die for him. Hail Caesar. That's the only thing they didn't say. And he feels guilty because he never served his country. As a matter of fact, he's not even from here. And you know what? The Democrats know it, too. Hang in there.
Hello? Jimmy, how are you, pal?
So we were saying that imagine if Obama doesn't have papers and he is not an American citizen. Do you know what the excuse is going to be? It's too late to do anything about it. That's what you're going to be told. But you know what? If that's true, if that should turn out to be true, you know that other people knew. They vetted Obama before they displayed him. Other people know. And the subject had to come up, and somebody had to say, this guy's not a citizen. What are we going to do about it? And they're going to say, well, we're just going to we'll hide all his records. Nobody will be able to see his records. And we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But he's going to be our man. So those are the people that should be tried. Those are the people who knew that he had no papers. Those are the people who damaged the country. Obama's only mistake was he wanted to be president. He wanted it real bad. And he would do anything to get the presidency, but the others who used him, they're the ones. They knew what they were doing when they presented him as a presidential candidate. They're the ones that have to do jail time.